الرحيم قل كل يعمل على شاكلته فربكم أعلم بمن هو أحدى سبيلا صدق الله العلي العظيم. Cultivating a divine disposition has been our topic from day number one. Tonight is lecture number 10. First of all, before I begin my content, let me send the Imam of my time and our time our condolences. The night of Ashura has arrived, and right now that Imam who is sitting in Karbala, crying tears of blood for his Jadda Hussain. If all of you can join me before we begin, and a very special Dua-i Faraj, if you don't mind. I don't usually do this, but I could tell your hearts already, there's a vibe that I can feel, or energy I can feel on the member. Join me as we begin this Shabi Ashur Majlis with the recitation of this Dua, with the hopes that soon we are able to experience, we are able to be worthy of the arrival of our Hussein from Ghaybat, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma kulli waliyika al-Hujjat ibn al-Hassan. في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة ما شاء الله ما شاء الله وقائد حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا Send me a salawat loud enough to reach him in Karbala, inshallah, please. Our discussion from day number one, and you've been very patient with me, has been revolving around this divine disposition concept from Surah Isra, verse number 84. Attempting now 10 nights, almost 10 hours, and we still haven't scratched the surface of what the word shakila means. Yesterday, we turned the discussion inwards. We talked a little bit about the idea that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places the hardship, the struggles, the suffering, and things that make us uncomfortable in front of us, not to make our life miserable, not to enjoy our misery, but rather to do what he attempted to do with shaitan, and rescue us from the plight of our own disposition. To make us do what? To make us migrate from our homes. As I said last night, the spiritual migration from home is a spiritual migration from home that's uncomfortable. That's not easy. We have to be okay with not being okay. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to do things on a daily basis that flat out is hard. As Imam Ali says, alayhi salatu wa salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And it's such a realistic hadith. He says that sabr and patience are of three types, or occurs in three different occurrences. One obviously during struggles, one of course against shaitan, and very realistically he says, even the worship of Allah requires our sabr and patience. Nobody ever said it was easy. Nobody ever said that there's supposed to be a free and an easy ride in this dunya. It was meant to be a little bit of a struggle. But knowing full well the moment that we step foot out of our spiritual home, Allah has ajr upon ajr waiting for us. Reward upon reward waiting for us. Makes life a little bit easy. Gives us rizq min haythu la yahtasib. From a source that we never even imagined existed. Where I thought was a brick wall, a dead end, the door opens and I walk right through. How many times have my elders, how many stories do you have for me? I thought we were dead. I thought we were done. I thought as a family we had now suffered the last. Allah opens up a path for us, a door for us. And I want to continue that today by looking at, and we'll jump right in, looking at the two opening verses of Surah Jum'ah. A surah a lot of you have memorized. But as I said last night, there is a zahir of the Quran and a batin of the Quran. And what you get when you are a follower of the Ahlul Bayt is not a superficial level of the deen, but a deeper version of the deen. And the Ahlul Bayt not only teach us that, but invite us to accept that deeper level, knowing full well we have the capacity to do so. The verse from Surah Al-Nisa yesterday, 100, verse number 100, was a very different meaning on the outside and a different meaning on the inside. These two verses, hopefully on the screen, of Surah Jummah are just like that. Let's break these down. And then, of course, I have a very important message in between to wrap up these at least 10 days. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. It's Shab-e Ashur. It's a very important night. I have a lot to say. You want to cry as well? I'll make you cry. I'll make myself cry, inshallah. But please get comfortable. We have a long discussion tonight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off this surah by claiming or proclaiming that everything in the heavens and earth glorifies Him. يُصَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And then he introduces four titles of his. مَالِكِ الْقُدُوسِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. He's a Malik, he's Qudus, he's Aziz, he's Hakim. He's a king, he's pure, he's Aziz, he's powerful, he's Hakim, he's wise. I want you to know these four. And if possible, if my AV guys do their magic and have both these verses up there, that would be great. And leave them up there if you can for at least the first quarter of the speech. That would be fantastic. Thank you very much. These four are very important. They're not randomly chosen. It's not like Allah says, well, let me just choose these random names of mine and throw them in this first verse. Nothing is random in Allah's universe. Everything is calculated. Everything is measured. That's the first verse. The second verse, very much connected to the first verse, now explains why Allah sent down His Rasul. And in this verse now, He has four reasons why He sent down the Prophet of Allah. Four names of Allah in the first verse, four reasons in the second verse. And knowing all of you, as well as I know all of you, you're already making the connection. You're too smart for me. هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. We sent this prophet amongst the Ummiyin, amongst the Ahl al-Qura, amongst the Ahl al-Mekka. A Rasul that's amongst them, from them, minhum. Not some prophet from a different country or different planet, not some angel, not some bashar from a different galaxy. No, you know him very well. Been with you for 40 years. From your city, amongst you. For four reasons. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمْ الْكِتَابَ is one, وَالْحِكْمَةِ is the fourth. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ظِلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Surely before this, you were in utter darkness. A darkness that's mubeen, that's very, very dark. Now on the zahir, on the apparent now, these might be seen as two different verses, and they're not. They're very much connected. If not one statement across two verses. Allah's qualities in the first verse, the purpose of sending His Prophet in the second verse, are magically linked. I want to make that connection right now. The first name that He introduced to us in the first verse of Surah Jummah is a Malik. Meaning what? King. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Master of the Day of Judgment. He is the King. A master, if the prophet comes and claims that, look, I am the prophet of a God you don't know. If I enter some random town, let's say for example, Bila Tashbih, I'm not comparing myself to the verses. Let's say I, Forget I. Let's say Jerry walks into a town. Let's bring him back to the series now as a finale. Surprise appearance from in the finale. Let's say he walks into town claiming to be a messenger from a king. A king that these people don't know very much about. The first thing they'll ask Jerry is, fine, you have big claims about being the voice of a king, let's say, or the messenger of a king, show me the signs of this king. Something to show me. Anything you have, anything. A seal, a sticker, a picture, some coins with his face on it, currency. Without those signs initially, this individual who claims now to be a messenger of this king will lose his crowd. If you claim that you are the messenger of a Malik, I want to see the signs. The first thing Allah says, Yatru alayhim ayati. Show them the signs. The second name in the first verse says what? Qudus, purity. Allah is pure, capital P, He is pure. And because He's pure, I want you as my Habib, as my last prophet, where you zaki him to purify them. The third one is what? Aziz, authority, powerful. The Aziz of a country, like they referred to the husband of Zulaykha during Prophet Yusuf's time, let's get that name right, Yusuf's time, is the Aziz, is the king. The king has power. The king also is the lawmaker. After you purify them, Ya Rasulullah, wa yu'allimuhum al-kitab. And here the kitab, of course, means the Quran, but more importantly, it means what? It means the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I am all powerful, if I am Aziz, if I am the law, if I am the authority, teach them how to be law abiding to the lawmaker. And finally, Hakim. He is wise, capital W, all wise. I say the capitals because nothing can compare to his wisdom. Many of you are wise in this audience. In Marhaba Hall, there are many more who are wiser than us. All your wives are watching you. You better be nodding with me, inshallah. But that wisdom and the W and the capital W wisdom, Zameen Osman, big difference. But here, Allah says, if I am the wise, I want you to teach them wisdom as well. These are not two separate verses. I'm not going to go based on the fact that I have this surah memorized, say them since I was 10, 15 years old. That's great. But now let's dissect these two verses. If I had more time, this is a Tafsir Surah Jummah class, I talk about the third ayat that talks about the others who come. That's a different discussion. I don't have time for that. What is Allah trying to do with these two verses? Here He has the idea that I am the king, I am the pure, I am the authority, I am the wise. Teach them the signs, purify them, teach them the command and the law, teach them wisdom. Now on the Zahir, fine, we're your followers, teach us that. But Tafsir says what is the interesting discussion is, in the beginning of the first surah, he says, because of these four names, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. I am glorified because of these four names. There's more, of course, but these four are specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioned by Him with immense wisdom behind it. That because of these four, I'm now qabil tasbih. I'm worthy of praise. It was not just the idea of following the Prophet. I sent you a Prophet, so follow him. No, Allah is saying something deeper. If you're able to do these four things from the second verse, You can be a reflection of the first four in the first verse. It's not just me following the Sharia, it's wajib, let me do it. No, Allah's saying, look, I don't want you to only follow me. I want you to manifest who I am. I want you to reflect who I am. Look, we have, I said it before, we have the sun, we have the rays of the sun. The kamal and the perfection of a ray of the sun is to do its level best to emulate and imitate and represent the sun itself. So a cold, dark ray of the sun, is a failed ray. The hotter the ray, the brighter the ray, the more kamal the ray has reached. But the brightness of the ray and the heat of the ray is nothing compared to the heat and the brightness of the sun. If we are the tajalliyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we are supposed to be the khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if because of the heat of the ray, I am remembered the sun, if because of us, we are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then these two verses have to be seen at the idea that Allah is saying, look, I'm placing my prophet's sharia in front of you, not just to follow like you're a robot, not just to follow like it's an annual or a daily custom. Follow it so you end up becoming a reflection of who I am. Then you share in that tasbih of mine from the very first verse. Not only will the heavens and earth do tasbih of me, they'll do tasbih of you as well. So not standalone verses. That's why yesterday we talked about the idea. وَمَن يُخْرَجْ مِن بَيْتَةٍ مُحَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. The one who leaves their home in the state that they are in muhajir, a migrant towards Allah and His Rasul. Not just the principles in the Quran, but the one now who has explained those principles both together. Then what? فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Then you can expect this ajr. Once you begin that process, but you have to leave home to do that. And here again, in these two powerful verses, Allah says, look, if I am Malik and Qudus and Aziz and Hakim, you also can be a ray of my Malikiyat, a ray of my Qudsi, a ray of my Azamat and my greatness, and a ray of my Hikmat. Meaning what? He's showing us our potential and our capacity. In the verse this amazing young man read in the Quran in the beginning, Surah Hashad. I don't know how many of you followed on TV. That had this Quran been revealed onto the mountains, مُصَدَّعًا مِنْ خَشَّةِ اللَّهِ, they would have crumbled. Now it doesn't say the small mountain, little hills, doesn't describe the mountain. You take any mountain you want. That mountain, as strong, as huge as it is, that mountain has consumed human lives. Trying to now climb Everest and try and climb this mountain and that mountain, it becomes a monumental task. Allah says, when it comes to the Quran, that mountain is nothing. That mountain can't handle my verses, but you, the human being, can. You won't crumble. And not just reciting it. Allah saying now, look, through the Sharia that I have now given you through the Holy Prophet and the Ahl al-Bayt, you can become this tajalli of those four names in the first verse of Surah Jummah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So a lot of you ask me, how am I supposed to do what you've been asking us to do for the past 10 days? And I don't have a magical pill for myself, nor for all of you. I don't. We have to move away a little bit from this idea that if I take the pill tonight, I'll wake up tomorrow with a magical shakula. They're not beanstalk beans, right? They're not. We have to move a little bit away from the fictitious fantasy world that we live in sometimes. I don't mean this in a rude way. And move away from the idea that everything has to be now, has to be big, either go big or go home. Everything has to be 100%. If I can't do it perfectly, I'm not going to do it at all. And we have to move towards the idea that this is a process. It took years For us to get to this Shakula, it'll take a little bit longer for us to fix that Shakula. But the first thing is reflection. Every arif, any alim of akhlaq, any alim of anthropology and insan shenasi has always talked about the fact that when you have this understanding that I can be better, then you will do better. When you know better, you'll do better. So don't underestimate the power of understanding what we're talking about tonight. Because the question is not, what should I do? That's been laid out for you. There's no surprises. The path has been laid out. As I mentioned a few nights ago, a quarter of a century of ma'asum and infallible sida for us to follow. You combine these 12 imams, you combine the two other ma'asumeen, 14 ma'asumeen have gone through everything that you and I have gone through. If you've lost your parents, they've lost their parents. If you've had a miscarriage, they've had a miscarriage. If your closest families now are toxic, their closest families are toxic. If you have a wife now who's constantly now making life difficult for you, there were imams that had wives that killed them. If you have friends around you that you wish you didn't have sometimes, there were ashab of the imams that they wish weren't around them. And go on and on and on. There's no surprises. It's not like Allah has left us, laid everything out for us. And in the process now, He's telling us in these two first verses, don't underestimate your capacity. This is not an issue of competition. It's an issue of capacity. And everybody has their own capacity. Everyone has their own journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a matter of taking the first step. وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ this وَمَنْ that, up and on the Quran, for the one who takes that first step, for the one who leaves the house, for the one who takes the first step towards taqwa, then I will show them everything I have to do. I've given the example before. Many of you have newborn babies inside your home. You're teaching your baby how to walk, and you put the baby a little bit away from them, and you'll jiggle some keys in front of it. And you'll do the classic ajal. Ajal. Sounds better in Urdu. Kam doesn't sound really good. Ajal. And then you see this baby just focusing. Eyebrows are down. This guy's ready. This girl's ready. Her things are clenched and she's just, you know, just first step. Wibbling, woggling, wibbling, about to fall. And when you see it about to fall, you have two choices. Either grab it before it falls, or once it falls, pick it right back up. To let it know, if you fall, there's someone there to pick you up. But I'll only pick you up when you take the first step, not before that. I'm not gonna pick up my baby after the first step. What's the point of the whole exercise? I'm teaching you how to walk, right? Show me one step, build the confidence, build the security, knowing, you know what, I can fall, because Baba is there, Mama is there. We have to have the exact same tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take that first step, grow out of your comfort zone, be uncomfortable, do things you've never done before, put on that hijab, grow that beard, give that khums, do the bait of Allah. Once that first step happens, you might wobble, you might wiggle, but God will grab you, ensure that you're safe. Even if you fall, He'll pick you right back up. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You live in this finite, diminishing, perishing world. But these two verses of Surah Jummah tells you that while you're living in a perishing world, you yourself are eternal. Yali. You yourself are not perishing. You weren't created for this measly world. It's not possible. Allah says you can live in this world, but I want you to be in the Ahlis Sama, amongst the heavens where you belong. That's where you're remembered. Pass by this world. Bardash and take the tests. Go through those days. Understand that Allah is there. Now, 2 points I want to make. Number one, where you see the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I want you to understand today, it's a process. Many of you are in a rush. Or many of you may think that God thinks that at this age in your life, if you're not at this stage of spirituality, there's no bother even trying. La haya fi din, Imam Sa'id says. There's no haya, there's no sort of, you know, sharmindagi, there's no embarrassment in the deen. We have 90-year-olds coming to the Ahlul Bayt's door looking for answers. So I'm sorry, I don't have a quick fix for you. I don't have a quick tasbih, a quick dua. I don't have. This is a process. What I do have is the promise of Allah. You make the first step, Allah will open up doors for you. Just take that first step. Whatever that first step is for you. If that first step is salat, that first step is whatever the case may be, then that's up to you. Okay? I'm not going to sit there and insult your intelligence by telling you, well, you know, pray salat and fast in the month of Ramadan and do it. You know all that already. That's what you should be doing. That's what I should be doing. The question is, why aren't I doing it? That's a better question. That's an individual conversation. But sometimes to know what level I'm at is extremely important. Sometimes to know what does God want from me is a better discussion. Up and down the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does something very ajib if you ask me. Ajib meaning, you know, it's unique. He's asking us to ask him to guide us to a path. Let me give you an example, okay? Someone says, ask you, how do I get to 9,000 Bathurst? You'll ask them, where are you coming from? I'm coming from Brampton. Okay. Are you a 4-7 guy? That's an important question. I am, yes. Okay. So 4-7 off Bathurst, go north. Follow the 40 cars getting in the driveway and you'll be inside. There, that's it. I have to know where you're coming from to understand. But first you tell me the exact destination of where you want to go. I'll tell you the route. Allah doesn't ask us, ask me for a certain destination. Nobody ever tells you or ever asks you, can you show me how to get to Bathurst? Where on Bathurst? 1 Bathurst, 2,000 Bathurst, 9,000 Bathurst. You want to go Bathurst and King, Bathurst and Steeles? Where do you want to go? No, I just want to go on Bathurst. Like, what do you mean? Drive up and down Bathurst? Tell me what? You want a Baskin Robbins? You want a Tim Hortons? Do you feel like a Popeye sandwich? What is it on Bathurst that you want? All my examples are food, mashallah. All of them are. God forbid they be anything spiritual. What do you want? No, I just want to get to Bathurst. Very ajib. Nobody ever asks you to get to the path. But God is saying, just get to the path. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide me to the path. Never says, guide me to 101 God way or 110's a better name God way. No, that's not the destination. What do I put in my GPS? Bathurst Avenue. What does that mean? Such a beautiful wisdom. As long as you get to Bathurst, that's your kamyabi and your success. Once you get to Bathurst, you can drive 2 kilometers or 200 kilometers. I don't care. Just stay on Bathurst Drive. So whether somebody is ahead of me or behind me in a faster car, in a slower car, it doesn't matter. You're on Bathurst, I'm on Bathurst. My car can't go that fast. Your car can go that fast. My capacity is this, your capacity is that. But we're both on the Bathurst streets. Understand? That's why there is no plural. There's no plural for the word sirat. Oh, there's one path only. But there are plurals for tariq and sabil. Now follow me, please. Follow me. You with me? Inshallah, follow me. The second half of the verse I've been reciting every single night. فَرَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ هُوَ أَحْدَى سَبِيلًا. Sabil and tariq, they both mean path in English. But zameen asman ka farq in definition. There's a big difference. Sabil has a plural, tariq has a plural. You have subul, you have turuq. Both of them mean paths. But a sabil is a small path, a tariq is a small path. All of them lead to what? To one sirat. Now the verse says what? The verse says what? That everybody will act according to their disposition. Allah then knows who's better guided on their sabil, meaning what? The first instance of you leaving your house, you'll end up on Bathurst Avenue. Look, if you tell me to come to Bathurst, I have to exit from my driveway, go down my small street, make a left on a bigger street, get to the main highway, then exit on Bathurst. I don't end up on Bathurst. I go through small streets to get to Bathurst. Allah says also, go through one sabil, then one tariq, then one sabil, then you arrive at Sirat. But leave your house to enter that sabil. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. Don't be fooled by 1,000 different paths. One sirat, one deen. Al-yawma akmalta lakum deenakum, not adyanikum. Does not say I perfected all religions today. There's one deen, there's one path. And that deen is the deen of Ghadir. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allah doesn't expect you to end up at the Sirat. Start with your sabils, your small roads. At least leave your driveway, man. Then make your way towards Bathurst. Then you'll find, oh, it's not that far. Left, right, we're here. Begin small. To get to that Sirat, there's 1,000 different ways, but the Sirat is one. We don't have Surut or Sirat Ha or Siratin. No. It's Ismi Jam. It's singular and plural at the exact same time. Just get to the path. Doesn't matter who's ahead of you, who's behind you. And your kamyabi, my kamyabi, your success, my success. It's not the idea of getting to some destination. Yes, we want to get to Allah. What that means is different. Allah says it's not so important that you get to the summit of the mountain. Just don't stop climbing up the mountain. You can be 1 inch off the ground or halfway up the mountain, but just keep climbing up the mountain. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Don't be in a rush. Allah's not in a rush. I'm yelling because I'm excited. I'm sorry. Beautiful, realistic ahadith by the Holy Prophet. Telling our first imam, Ali, when you enter the deen, enter slowly. This deen is jami'. It's massive. It's strong. Start off in the corner, then make your way to the middle. You know when you jump into a large body of ocean? Do you dip your toe in there? Then your foot in there? Then you walk in there? Then you end up somewhere deep in the ocean. And don't think for a moment, we can't have that belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ujibu da'wati da'i idha da'an. I will answer the call of the da'i, of the caller, whenever they call. Late, early, doesn't matter. Look, if I was to invite you, let's say you were to invite me to your child's wedding. Let's say, please, I would love if you came. This time, this date, this is the place to happen. Okay. The timing is at 6 o'clock. I arrive at 9 o'clock, mashallah. 3 hours late. I come in, I'm very embarrassed that the program is done, blah, blah, blah. I go straight to the father of the bride or the groom. I go, look, I'm really sorry I'm late. I'm really sorry I'm late. I apologize. I had so many other things that stopped me, traffic and delays and blah, blah, blah. No problem, Sayyid. As long as you came, I'm happy. Allah also invites us and invites us and invites us and invites us. We show up in our 30s. We show up in our 60s. We show up in our 50s. Do we really believe that God will say, look, either you come early or don't come at all? No. He goes, you're here. You're here. Even if you're late, you're here. Come. We can't believe in a God that'll slam the door in our face. You come now at 75? You're 71 years old? You're a Buddha with white beards? Now you're coming with all of your, now all of a sudden, tawbah. And that's precisely what the fifth imam tells Ibn Muslim, that you can repeat your tawbah 1,000 times, Allah will forgive you 1,000 more. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He has big plans for you. God has big plans for you. We just don't understand it. That's why he's saying, you could be Malik al-Qudus al-Aziz al-Hakim. to my 1%, or you being 1% and me being something higher. But still, you can be like that. It's not just a zahir following of Sharia. No, it's something greater than that. And that's why when we look at, you know, Karbala, and I'm not a Masaib yet. We look at Karbala. I had this discussion in a majlis a few days ago, and I want to sort of remind all of you and myself. The reason why Imam Hussein's Masaib is so heart-wrenching, we cry as if we were there. We cry as if it happened yesterday. We don't cry for our father and our loved ones the way we cry for Hussein and his loved ones. A lot of it is the fact that because of we know who Hussein was, or who Imam Hussein is, and because he's elevated in our eyes, what happens to him is difficult for us to digest. Wars have happened, battles have happened. People have been beheaded, I'm sorry. Blood has been shed of others. But nobody has been killed like Imam Hussein, and nobody has been like Imam Hussein who's been killed. There's a big difference. The azamat and greatness of Imam Hussein adds to his masaib. I can't believe someone as great as he had to endure what he had to endure. The higher the greatness, the higher the sacrifice. The higher the sacrifice, the more it hurts the ones who are witnessing that sacrifice. If he is a shaheed, we are the shahid. If he is the martyr, we're the ones who witness his martyrdom every single year by recalling that martyrdom. He has his zimmadari, I have my zimmadari. And my responsibility. And my responsibility, and all of ours really, is not just the idea of, you know, remembering him, but making sure that we tell everybody his maqam is all the way up here. That's why in the line of Ziyarat al-Ashura, we send la'anat on those who killed him, the dhulm against him, and the ones now who lowered him on maqamikum, from his maqam. The awwal al-mazloom statement by Imam Ali is not just the fact that he had to watch his wife on the ground unconscious and walk away from her. That's difficult as it is. But the fact that the ummah didn't understand who Amir al-Mu'mineen was. It took them three errors, I'm sorry, to now get their act together and go to him and say, look, now we need you. That's a maqami problem. That from day one, you should have understood. From the moment that the Prophet of Allah announced Islam, who Imam Ali was. Ghadir should not have been a surprise to anybody. And the same with Imam Hussein. 50 years is not three or four generations later. 50 years from the moment the Prophet left this world to the waqi'ah of Ashura is just 50 years. People are still alive who saw Imam Hussein on the shoulders of Rasulullah. There are still people alive who had witnessed the Prophet kissing the neck of Hussein. There are still people alive on the day of Ashura who would hear Hussein no minni wa ana min Hussein. There's no surprise of the maqam Imam Hussein. And we oftentimes, we look at this and we think to ourselves, how could they do this to him? And the practical application of Karbala today is the fact that you also have a maqam in the eyes of Allah. I don't want to hear about your skeletons, your high school years, the weight of your sins, the mistakes you've made. You have no idea, Sayyid. I don't want to hear any of that. We think God has no idea when really we have no idea of God's mercy. Part of the cultivating of a divine disposition is to understand that God has placed all the tools inside of us, has elevated us to a point now where we are at this level. Now the question is, we know who pulled Hussein down from his maqam, who's pulling us down from our maqam? Who's pulling our strings? Who's asking us to sell our soul for some followers and subscribers for a few extra dollars and a few extra square footage. The fact that some of us are easily giving that maqam away means that we don't understand what Allah sees when He sees us. When He's saying, look, you can be a Malik and a Aziz and a Hakim and a Quddus. That's who you are. You can be stronger than a mountain. So it's the same way that we sometimes are blown away at the fact that they did not know who Hussein was. How could Shimmer do what he did? How could Umar bin Sa'd do what he did? Did they not know? They did not know. How could they? Oftentimes, a lot of youth ask me, Sayyid, how could they? How is it possible? Almost as if in disbelief. It's the same way sometimes God's asking, how could this human being sell this maqam of being my creation, my Khalifa, out for hashtag ads, for susti shohrat and cheap fame, for a couple of extra viewers, some more talia and some shabash, a couple of extra naras. You're higher than that. You're bigger than that. Your maqam in the eyes of Allah is bigger than that. But again, it goes back to us not sitting there and polishing our chains, but breaking our chains and shackles. We have to first understand that sometimes we're the ones. We are the inmate. We are the prison guard as well. We're screaming to get out. God says the keys are in your pocket. Let's reach over and open the prison. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. My last point, and then inshallah masaib. And the last point is this. Where do I start? Let's start with this realization. That if I want to now take that first step, I understand through these two verses of Surah Jum'ah, Allah says, if you follow the commands of and the Sharia and the law that I gave you through my Holy Prophet, if you follow that and begin to follow that, at whatever capacity you're at, if there are some people who will spend their whole life waking up for Fajr, that's your struggle, that's your Bathurst street going 2 kilometers an hour. But know that everything Allah is asking us to do is to break our Shakilaya Taghuti and move towards Shakilaya Tawhidi. If Allah is saying, look, spend the money, board a flight, go across the world, put on 2 towels and do tawaf of my bait, what He wants really is that as you're doing the tawaf of my bait on the outside, you stop doing tawaf of your bait on the inside. If you're becoming attached to your money, to your earnings, to your salary, to the point where your chest is a little bit out, He says, yeah, give me 20% of it. 20%? That's high. If you look down on those who are poor, if only they worked harder, Malana, why should we help those people? I worked hard, I dug myself out of poverty, here we are feeding those who are poor, sending money to this country and that country. We're just enabling those people. How many emails do I get? Why do these jamaats ask you to help this water appeal and that this and this donation, blah, blah, blah? If only they worked harder. Allah says, acha. Do me a favor and just spend 16 hours fasting in the month of Ramadan and feel the pinch that they feel. Lam akun, Shaitan said yesterday. It's not, I can't bring myself to do sajda. Allah says, now I'll present you an option for you to break that idol inside of you. Provided from bilquwa to bilfi'l. From the actualization to the potential. There are people who go to Hajj, mashallah, they come back worse than before they left. We have a muhavara in Farsi, I'll say it in English. You went to Hajj, you left your ahram and your iman there and you came back. I've done 25 hajjis, mashallah. When you open your mouth, people run for cover. Where's that hajj gone? If you've done 25 here, I'm not talking about you, wallahi, I swear. Please. We have to understand sometimes our maqam. And the last point I want to make is this. It's simple. Let's keep it simple for me and then all of you. Is this idea that if we want to begin this process of cultivation, we have to begin the process by understanding that I don't need to understand why God made something wajib on me. Again, this idol inside of me, I'm talking up here, that I need to know, explain to me the philosophy behind salat, explain to me why hijab of my eyes first and then the hijab of the women and their dress. When you explain to me and then I'm convinced, then I'll act on it. Before that, I'll let you do your research, then come back to me, let me know. MashaAllah. The moment that someone like me understands that even if I don't understand why I'm doing it, but I'm doing it only because my Lord said so, I've begun that cultivation process. It's a mindset, guys. It's a slow, methodical process. Methodical process, for those who are catching my words. Methodical process, I'm sorry. A slow, methodical process that we have to be okay with. Because in that state, if we were now, يُدْرِكَهُ الْمَوْتِ فَقَدْ وَقَعُ أَجْرُهُ, Allah says. In that state now, you were to leave this world or leave your own ana. At that moment now, of course, Allah says, I'll give you your ajr for the simple of the fact that you have now tried. So we say a lot in Urdu, Allah wants koshish from us, not kamal from us. The struggle from us, not perfection from us. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. What about our doubts? Is that not blind faith, Balana? You're asking me to do something. I don't understand why I'm doing it. That's precisely what I'm asking all of you to do. And me first up here. It's not blind faith. I'll tell you why. My last part, then Masai. It's very simple. If I was to approach you as a real estate agent of 40 years, a pro in the business, for 4 decades you've been studying this market, selling homes, flipping homes, buying homes. I come to you and say, look, I'm in the market to sell my home, to buy my home. What do you think I should do? Sayyid, do this. No confusion. Do this, period. I don't agree. I'm like, I'm a little bit iffy. I don't understand why you're saying it. You'll say what? Just trust me, Sayyid. I've been doing this for 40 years. So I have yaqeen on your 40 years, I have doubt inside of me. Follow the example, please. Yaqeen on the 40 years, doubt inside of me. Yaqeen on the 40 years, doubt inside of me. A foolish me would sit there and say no thank you and act on my doubt. I would go where there is certainty. I would leave where there is doubt. I'll give you a fiqh example. I don't know if I'm in wudu or not. Common. Do I have to do wudu again? It's namaz time right now. So very simple. Do you remember doing wudu? I do. Do you remember breaking it? No, I don't. I'm doubtful about breaking it. I have yaqeen about doing it. You're in wudu? Khalas. Take the doubt, take the certainty, leave the doubt. Take the yaqeen, leave the shak. Take the yaqeen, leave the shak. I know I went to the washroom. I don't know if I revived my wudu. Yaqeenan, I went to the washroom, doubtful I did wudu. Go do wudu again. Take yaqeen, leave the doubts. If Allah's laws are doubtful to us, He isn't, at least. If I don't understand, why do I have to pray salat this way? That's a doubt for me. But the source of that law is not a doubt for me. I would not leave the yaqeen and take the doubt. Allah says no. Instead, the first step in cultivating this divine disposition is to leave your doubt and work on the yaqeen. That yaqeen is coming from a source that I know wants my success. Whether I understand or not is irrelevant. That's why Imam Ali says, Al-Islam huwa al-taslim, wal-taslim huwa al-yaqeen. First submit, then Allah gives you yaqeen. It's not the other way around. It's not al-Islam huwa al-yaqeen, wal-yaqeen huwa al-taslim. No, because sometimes the certainty is in the act, not in the mind. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Why do you wear hijab? They'll ask you. Sally and Brittany and Christine, and why do you wear hijab? Fatima, why do you wear hijab? Because my mom says so. That's not a good answer. A simple answer, my God told me to wear it. Khalas. That's submission. That's a disposition. Why don't you come to these events? My Lord told me not to go to these events.